before we get to that, on a very, very busy program, and I got to behave myself because I got an English teacher in the house. I got a fourth grade teacher in the house. I really got to do all, you know, the good grammar and all that kind of stuff. We've been telling you about, we told you about a couple of weeks ago, an incentive, an award for the hard, you know, y'all call up every now and then and dog out teachers. And just as in any profession, there are some folks in a profession that shouldn't be in the profession, but the vast majority of people in the profession, whether they're bricklayers, whether they're nurses, whether they're custodial people, the vast majority do a great job, and some even go the extra mile and help turn somebody's life around. And you don't know how you're impacting people. I've been doing what I'm doing this is the 39th year. And it is amazing people who come up to me out in the community and say, you spoke to me at my school way back, and then I get old and more gray hairs come out or what have you. You don't know the impact you have on young people. And think about the men and women who are teachers in our classrooms. And that's what the Hubbard Prize is going to be doing for life-changing teachers in our IPS schools and full-time teachers. And full-time teachers in Arlington, Howe, Emma Donnan, and Manuel, because even though they might be takeover, they still are in spirit IPS. So in the house today, I have Jamie Kalb. She is a teacher at School 14, which is temporarily in exile at School 98 while they build a new School 14, Washington Irving School. She is the first recipient of the Hubbard Prize for Life-Changing Teachers. And you know what the prize was, Chris? 25 big ones. I'm not talking about 25 roses. I'm not talking about 25 gift certificates to Subway. I'm talking about, let me get like Steve Harvey, $25,000! Not even, oh my goodness gracious. And that's what somebody will get this coming year in 2014. And if you know, and we'll tell you how you can nominate a Hubbard teacher. Also in the house is Susan Avery. Susan Avery has been teaching almost as long as I've been doing what I'm doing. For many years, she's teaching middle school over at Northwest. But she was at Broad Ripple for a number of years, and one of her prize students that she kind of hit upside the head every now and then was some guy named George Hill. You might have heard of him. And he's got a big test tonight. Because, well, aren't they're in town? LeBron and them? Heat, if you're listening, I'm getting ready to talk to the lady that instilled offense and defense into George Hill. So LeBron and Wayne, and all y'all, are you overpriced so-and-sos? Yo, chill out, because I got them in the house. And also Mary Gardner's here from the United Way, and they're the ones kind of helping to supervise the Hubbard Prize. So we welcome great teachers from IPS, Susan Avery and Jamie Kalb. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Let me first ask, let me go to the Hubbard person first. What did you think when they said, it's you?
I was shocked.
How did they get you to where? What story did they tell you to get you there before the announcement?
Well, I got a phone call from Dr. Farabee.
Himself?
Yes.
Uh-oh, that should have told you. Uh-oh, thumbs up.
On a Wednesday at that.
Yeah.
And in the middle of class, and Dr. Farabee says, Mrs. Kalb, this is Dr. Farabee, your superintendent. And I was like, yes. He goes, do you have a moment? And I'm thinking, is this a trick question? Do I say yes? Do I say no? Like, I should be teaching, but I'm thinking, okay, it's the superintendent. What do you say? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, well, I need you to be at United Way, you know, on Monday, because I need you to keep this quiet because your principal already knows everything about it. I just need you to show up there. You're going to get a little award.
A little award.
And I was like, and he goes, Eugene, you remember the article that was written back to you about by Matthew Tolley back in May? And I'm like, and then, of course, I started crying because this is my old student. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, sir. And he's like, okay, we'll see then. He's like, oh, by the way, he's like, do you know where it is? Silly me said, no, sir, but I think I can find it. And then, of course, anytime my principal comes running down the hall and she's like, do you know what you're doing? Do you know where you're going? I'm like, because she's whispering to me, I'm like, no, I don't. I was just like, he asked me to be somewhere, so you just go there. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I ended up getting there. And I was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock, had not a clue, and went from there.
Matt wrote about you. For people that aren't familiar with the article, what did he write?
You're going to make me cry. I had a student who I had in 7th grade. He's an amazing boy. He's down at ISU right now. And he was a tough one. Mm-hmm. And he was placed in, I taught reading at John Marshall. Right. And for a lot of people who don't know the reading that I taught, I teach kids who don't read on grade level. Mm. So he might have been a 7th grader who read on a 4th grade level. Mm-hmm. Or it might have been a 9th grader who read at a 5th grade level, mm-hmm. a few years behind. And he got placed in this class of mine. And I tested him. And I realized that he was reading on high school level. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? Why is he here? Mm-hmm. And finally, I started talking to him, and he's like, I blew it off. He just blew everything off. He didn't care. Didn't care about school. No one pushed him. No one made him to be pushed. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I refuse to let this child be this way. And I made him step up. And Matthew Tolley, the article that Jamal said, and he's like, I was a disrespected woman, didn't care for women, never made me do my homework. She made me who I am today. And I was just floored that he said it. I didn't even know he even wrote the article. Mm. I was on Facebook, and all my friends were like, congratulations, did you read the article?
You're going, what?
And I'm like, what? So then I was on the way to my nephew's graduation.
Right.
And everybody was like, congratulations. And I'm like, what are these people talking about? And finally I asked somebody back, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, haven't you seen the article? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what article are you talking about? So then someone sent me the link. Mm. So on the way to my nephew's graduation, I started crying in the car.
Oh my God.
So I texted him, and I was like, do you have something to tell me? And of course, he calls me Mama. And he's like, no, Mama, did I do something wrong? And I'm like, you didn't talk to Matthew Tolley, Tolley, I said, the newspaper article? He's like, I did a couple weeks back. He goes, but it's no big deal. Why? I said, don't you think you should have told me what you said? He goes, well, everything I said in it was true. It's okay. And I was like,
oh,
okay,
goodness.
But, you know, I mean, I was, I'm floored. I was honored by it. Right. He's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just all true. It's okay. Mm. I was like, it was amazing.
We're talking with Jamie Kalb. She's a teacher at School 14, as a building temporarily in exile in School 98 while they're rebuilding. School 14, Susan Avery at Northwest. People have heard the story about you and George Hill, but I want to maybe ask a larger story. What motivates teachers to go out of their way? What is it in you that did that?
Well, I think, first of all, if you don't like young people and you don't love children, you should stay as far away from a classroom as possible. Mm-hmm. And so because you do care about them and you do love them, you want what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And that means you do like Jamie did. You push them, you help them, because so many times as teachers, we can see in our students what they cannot yet see in themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you help them see what you already see so that they can make it become a reality.
There are people sitting in the seats in the studio that you sit in who think they know about education, who think they understand what it is you do, who think they understand and they have the silver bullet to solve all the educational problems. Let me ask a couple things. I got an audience, and a lot of times they're down on parents. From your perspective, as folks who have been in the classroom for a while who deal with that, what is there any solution to try to engage parents, or is that just something where they're just going to be some, they're just like, they're bad drivers, there's bad parents?
I don't know how you feel, Susan, but I do. I mean, you have parents who are truly involved, you have parents who are not. And I believe, honestly, it's just not IPS. That is any school district. Mm-hmm. So just like you said, it's bad drivers, whether it's not. That's how I feel. I mean, I know I go to work every single day. I'm a teacher. I'm a nurse. I'm a mom. You know, I'm
a counselor.
Exactly. You know, mm-hmm. I have to wear that hat. No matter if you're a mom at home, you're still a teacher. You're mm-hmm. still a social worker. You're still a psychologist. You're still a counselor. That's what I think as everybody does. Mm-hmm. you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother. I wear those hats. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't change when I walk into that classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, and just like, and there's some parents who, they want to be involved, they're going to be involved. If they don't, and you know what? And you kind of know that right away. I don't know if you do or not, Susan. When I make that first phone call, couple phone calls at home, begin the school year, you can tell right away. And if I, and this is just me personally, if I know that and I don't get a response back, the response that I'm looking for, the involvement from the parents, right. That's where my A game has to step even higher. Mm. And I don't say that makes me even more special to what I do. That's just my personal person, because I know that every child out there has that opportunity. And I know I have to do that and get that one way or another.
We're talking to some great teachers in IPS, and they're also representative of great teachers in all of the school systems, including our charters and our private schools as well. 239-1310, Jamie Kalb from School 14 and Susan Avery from Northwest. 239-1310, 239-1310. Send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Now, you know, besides people dogging out parents, you know, if I could sit and have Mike Pence on one side of the room, Superintendent Ritz on another side of the room, the State Board of Education on another side of the room, the Mind Trust over here in the corner, some of these other folks, what would you tell them? What do all these high muckety mucks and us in the media, what do we need to be doing to make your, what needs to be done to make your jobs better?
You want to go first?
I see too many young people not understanding why they came to school that day. I'm seeing too many young people right now who are not respecting and are not focused. Mm. And our society needs to make some adjustments. And some of those adjustments are going to cost money and attention. But our children need more support. And they need more assistance in understanding that there really is life after elementary school, mm-hmm. middle school, high school. A lot of our children really don't believe that they will live long enough to need to be productive.
So they don't see the why do I have to do this and see the end product.
Yes, sir.
Think they can just go on out here and get a gig and do whatever.
Yes.
And that's Mary Gardner, Jamie? Susan Avery, Jamie?
I would just be a bit blunt that, you know what, back off, let me do my job. Mm. I went to college for 4 years. I know how to do my job. Mm-hmm. I think I do my job very well. And if I don't know how to do my job, there is a principal put in that building to come and observe me. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how many observations we get this year. I'm constantly have somebody in my room, so it doesn't bother me. That I know if I'm not a good teacher, then there's a PIP program or whatever you call it, I don't even know, a PIP you have to be put on. But you know what? We have so much data in our classrooms that guide me. Those kids guide me every day. Mm-hmm. That just back off, let me do my job. I don't need someone to sit there and write a scripted lesson plan for me to tell me word from word what to say.
There's scripted lesson plans?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't even use a script in here most of the time. No kidding. No joke. I thought that was just some rhetoric that people used.
I would even say that it's reached the point where we are so micromanaged as teachers that sometimes I feel that my
Your creativity level?
My education mm-hmm. is completely unused.
Yes.
And creativity has been knocked out of contention.
So just as your former student and George Hill, you know, there may be something in the game where, you know, Coach Vogel gives them a play and they go out there and they see what LeBron is going to do. And they said, no, that play is not going to work. Let's ad lib. I'm going to throw to you. You fake. And they hit the basket.
Correct.
Instead of doing something scripted. Mm-hmm. See the things we learn. Do young teachers get it today? I mean, you guys have been in, you said, Susan, you've been in this 38 years. Jamie, how long have you been a teacher?
I've been a teacher for, someone asked me the other day, isn't that scary? I did ask. I've been teaching for, I think, 8 in IPS, 10 for total.
So 18? Or
no,
10 total.
Total. 10 total, 8 in IPS.
Do young teachers get it?
Could I pick up on
that? No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm thinking.
I think we're driving young teachers out of the profession.
Mm-hmm. I agree with on that.
I've had a lot of student teachers in the past, and I think we're making the profession so onerous mm-hmm. that we're driving people out of the profession.
Is it like factory work? Because when I'm hearing scripts and I'm hearing rote, it reminds me of stories of somebody working on the line at Chevrolet or Allison's back in the day.
I wouldn't say that. I would say I know a lot of people who are the new teacher programs or the new ones who come out, and they're burnt out within 2 years. Hmm. You know, the saying baptism by fire, I guess. Some of the colleges are that way. Hmm. And they're not prepared. It just depends where you go to.
Okay.
You know, and I love my job at IPS. I think it's a calling. I think it's a gift that I have. I enjoy it. I truly love my job every single day. I'm very blessed. But I think there's I know there is. I've seen new teachers who sat there after school and cried. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. It's like you just pick up your bootstraps. You wipe your tears. You have hopefully someone who has been in a lot of years next door to you mm-hmm. who, you know, that still have a passion and drive and say, you're going to do this tomorrow. This is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. If you need me, come and see me at lunch or knock on the door and come and get me.
239-1310 with Mary Gardner is with the United Way. This is what the Hubbard Prize is all about. Identifying men and women like our guests here. And recognizing them.
Absolutely. We really wanted to uplift and acknowledge these teachers who are going above and beyond. And all these things are happening, and they often don't get a credit, or maybe the kid comes back and says thank you, but maybe they've also impacted students, and they don't even know what they've done. And we really wanted an opportunity to come and thank these teachers and recognize them and say, you're doing a great job, and you work really, really hard. I think mm-hmm. people don't always understand that a lot of teachers are there very early. They're staying extremely late. They're lesson planning on the weekends. They're taking home work to grade. They're going to kids' athletic events. They're a part of their lives, and we just really wanted to recognize that.
And so all people have to do is they can do one or two things. If they're electronically inclined and they're on the internet, or their kids or their grandkids are better on the internet than they are, they simply go to
teacherawards.org.
Teacherawards.org, and you click it on and you nominate the teacher.
Yes, it's very simple. There's just one question that people have to fill out, and anyone can nominate. Alumni, current students, parents, colleagues at the school, principals. Mm-hmm. Parent liaisons, anyone can nominate.
Or you do it the old-fashioned way. Go to your neighborhood, Indianapolis Marion County Public Library, the library branch nearest you. Pick up a form.
And the schools have the forms.
The school's got the form, too.
Yep.
Or this is a positive way for you to go into the school when the kid's not in trouble and there's no social event. You're just going into school just to say, hi, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year. Oh, give me one of those life-changing teacher award forms. See? And see, the word will spread among the teaching staff. Somebody's getting ready to nominate somebody up in this. And that helps. You never know.
Yes, and we just want to encourage people to be really specific, too, when they're nominating. There's been some that we've received that have been kind of vague, but we really want people to go into detail about this teacher and how have they really impacted
your life. Don't fill out the form saying, John Doe is a great teacher. My name is so-and-so. Thank you very much.
Right. The more detail you can provide, the better.
So if you know specific examples of maybe how it helped your child or how it helped somebody in your scout troop or how it's helped somebody in your Sunday school or how it helped somebody in your youth group or maybe a next door neighbor or somebody down the street on your block or in your subdivision, put some detail to it.
Exactly, because we're going to be picking four teachers to win the award this year, and we really want high-quality candidates.
And the deadline is what, the latter part of January?
January 24th.
January 24th. So you got a while. It's not like the deadline is around the corner, so you just go to teachersaward.org, teachersaward.org, or you get to pick up a form in your school before school closes next Friday?
Thursday.
Next. Y'all keep changing. wait till I see the superintendent, because that's part of the problem. I never know when any. Or you go to an Indianapolis Marion County public library branch and do all of that out. One of the things, because she's one of the first teachers who got an award, got a call from the superintendent, and I was telling Jamie Cabell, I was telling Susan Avery before we came in that the superintendent is actually out in classrooms, or at least that's what he's saying on Twitter, teaching. I got to ask you, how important is it when the head person at the top of the pyramid is going into a classroom, not to observe, but to actually teach and actually interact with students? How important is that?
I think it means a lot. I mean, if you know, when my boss comes in and she looks, you know, my principal comes in and looks, and she comes in and she wants, because I think principals miss teaching. I think they do every once in a while, and they want to ad lib and put in, you know, in their two cents. And it's like, you know what? That makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? They're really paying attention, and you know, they're like really into it, what I'm doing, what I'm engaging into. And they're like, you know, and then in this, so for him to do that, that means a lot.
I think it's good for the students to see him there too, because he's showing his respect and for them and their importance.
Well, not only that, he'll get to see the students, what kind of students we have.
Right. Because he's been out and about from what I'm seeing, which helps. You know, it doesn't hurt when you get out, when all those of us get out of our ivory towers. Somebody didn't want to go on the air and ask the question, will the teacher let it be known if they're nominated, or will there be a winner? Is it going to be like a surprise thing, or they haven't figured that out yet?
So there's going to be 35 finalists.
There'll be 35 finalists.
Who will receive additional information that they'll fill out and provide more information about their teaching history, how long they've been at the school, just some background about them. Okay. And then they'll have two recommendation forms that they'll need to send back to us at United Way.
So we got 35. So there'll be 35, like the Oscars, there'll be 35 nominees. Okay.
And then that number will be not winnowed down with a committee that's been formed to 15.
35 down to 15.
And those 15 will come in and film them in action. And they will come in for an interview with the committee. Mm-hmm. And then 10 people will be invited to a big dinner at the Idle Drug Museum on May 28th.
Uh-oh.
And the four winners will be announced at the dinner.
So it goes 35 get in the pool.
Yes.
And then 15 semifinalists. Mm-hmm. And then 10 finalists, and they're all there, and then all of a sudden, bingo.
Yes.
4 out of the 10.
And the 6 runners up will each receive $1,000.
Okay.
So everyone who makes it to the final 10 will receive something. But then the 4 finalists will win.
At the end of May, just around the end of the school year. This could be a big deal, Chris. This could be big. And the 4 winners each get 20. Each. Get $25,000.
And there's no stipulations. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. Chris is Yeah, Chris is trying to lobby now to I'm not gonna ask Jamie what she's doing with the
You can ask.
What are you doing with it?
I'm paying tuition for my boy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I called the day that I won on the way back to school because his school's not paid for. And I said, don't worry about your spring bill. He's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I just won because of you. And he's like, well, you won what? And I said, what do you mean? You don't know? And I said, because I thought they knew. I thought he knew.
I thought
he knew about all this. He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, I just won $25,000 because of you. He's like, why? And I told him everything that happened. I said, so you know what? Your spring tuition bill will be paid for.
My Lord.
He's like, really? Because he was trying to find a work study and pay for and everything. And I was like, you know what? You give me good grades and because we paid for last semester.
The Lord works.
And it does.
The Lord
it does.
Works.
He is an amazing child.
Well, we thank you for, we thank IPS for letting you sneak out of your classrooms. Who's teaching the class while y'all are here?
You want to go?
Maybe that's where the superintendent is right now.
I have an inclusion partner in the classroom. And
what's that? Wait a minute. What's an inclusion partner? See all these, I'm learning things. What's an inclusion partner?
Well, some of my students are technically in the special education program.
Okay.
So you have an inclusion teacher. They are included in the classroom, so the inclusion teacher works with those students that are included.
Okay.
And if you're really lucky, nobody knows who is whom.
Who is who.
Excuse
so it's
me,
just like you can't tell the difference. You're both teachers.
Exactly. And there they're all our children.
There you go. And who's filling in?
I have great colleagues at School 14 that stepped up today that let me be here. So my inclusion teacher was not there today, and I had another inclusion teacher step up.
And they're all stepping up. They probably done snuck a radio into the classroom. That's probably.
my students. But I left today because I was off last week because my stepfather passed away.
Oh,
suddenly.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And I came back, and my kids were like, she's back. And I was like, I'm leaving today for a little bit. They're like, where are you going? I'm like, well, I'm going to be on the radio. They're like, can we listen? It's like, I don't know if you can. I never really thought about that. And they're like, please, please. They're begging me on the way out. So then the other teachers there, they're like, can we listen to him on the radio? Can we listen to her and him on the radio?
So if they did, I tell you what, tell people, if they didn't figure out how to sneak an AM radio into the classroom, let us know and we'll make sure that you get the MP3.
Thank you.
And then they'll now they understand.
I was going to say, they'll get that probably.
Now they'll understand what an MP3 is. And those of you that don't understand, we'll tell you about it after the break. Again, it is teachersaward.org, teachersaward.org, or you can go to the IPS website at ips.k12.in.us. Dr. Farabee got to change that. He's got to get something hipper for the website. Or you just go to your school and pick up an application, the IPS school nearest you, or the Indianapolis Marion County Library nearest you. This is open to any IPS full-time teacher or full-time teacher at Arlington, Howe, Emadonin, and Manual. And anyone in the IPS community or the larger community that knows any of those teachers and how they've impacted young people in the community can nominate any of y'all. So we need to flood it with nominations. The deadline is January the 24th. Mary Gardner from the United Way, thank you. And more importantly, the opportunity to talk to two great teachers. Susan Avery, one of the prides of Northwest High School. And, of course, she's hoping that tonight, Brother George Hill just shoots it out against the Heat. Because they need to just go on back home to Miami, go back from whence they came. And Jamie Cal, the first winner of the Hubbard Prize for Life-Changing Teachers. Guys, thanks very much. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, and all that good stuff to you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.